Monday,
April 27th, 2026, Board of Equalization meeting at 2:45, followed by Board of Commissioners meeting at 3 p.m.
All right, we're going to start the Dakota County Board of Equalization. I'm going to rise for the National Anthem.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I can tell I'm so tired. All right. Roll call.
Brian.
Present.
Rick.
Present.
Jeff.
Here.
Marty.
Yep. Rahelio called me a couple days ago and said that he had a district soccer game, but he would come to the meeting if we thought he was trying to decide what to do. And I said, you coached all year long. I encouraged him to go to the soccer game. So I make a motion to excuse Rahelio from this meeting.
Second.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes. Current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The Dakota County Board of Equalization reserves the right to adjust the order of items on the agenda if necessary. Number one, consent agenda items. Approval of previous minutes, April 13, 2026.
So moved to approve.
Second.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
New business, 2:45, public hearing of applicants requesting tax exemption on real and personal property by qualifying organizations for the purpose of hearing oral and or written testimony for qualifying organizations who filed an exemption application 4517-202-01, Siouxland Tennis Association.
You guys want to speak on that one?
Sure. So my name is Scott Bieber. I'm the treasurer of the Siouxland Tennis Association. I'm the one who signed the exemption application, and it cites the Nebraska law that pertains to this. And key to this is that it has to be for a public purpose, and the law itself says that public purpose means use of the property, A, to provide public services with or without cost to the recipient, including the general operation of government, public education, public safety, transportation, public works, civic and criminal justice, public health and welfare, developments by a public housing authority, parks, culture, recreation, community development, and cemetery purposes. And so this is certainly a recreational facility, and it is in the midst of a public park.
Okay.
It's still a pending TURC case. They have not made their decision. Also on the form, they made their own box. You can't add to a government form. You have to be qualified under the things that are on the form.
Oh, governmental subdivision.
Yeah, that's not a category.
Okay, so if we approve that, it wouldn't align with the county stance on
No,
that.
You can't make your own box on the form. It's a state form.
Okay.
But it's still a pending TURC case. They still haven't made their decision.
Yeah, so based on it being a pending TURC case, I'd make a motion to not approve it at this time.
I'd say.
All right. Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
All right. Letter C, hearing for Heartland Counseling Services, application for exemption from motor vehicle taxes by qualified nonprofit organizations, 2011 Buick sedan, last five of 24954, and a Dodge Terra Grand Van, the last of the VIN is five, last five of the VIN is 43376.
Yes, these are just renewals.
Renewals, yep.
So we did this last year, too?
Yes.
Yep.
So move to approve.
I'd second that.
All right, Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
All right. Letter D, hearing for Haven House application of exemption motor vehicles taxes by a qualifying nonprofit. This is another one?
Yes.
Yep. 2023 Chrysler Pacifica. The last five have been 46606.
Thank you.
Yes, that was just a renewal as well.
Good.
So move to approve.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right, second that.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes. All right. Christy?
Oh. I do have one correction. It's for Randy Howard. He actually amended his federal return, so that's the correction.
Okay.
So he actually did what he was supposed to.
All right.
I'd make a motion to approve the tax list corrections.
So,
go ahead.
You made the motion?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Discuss upcoming protest hearings and set dates and times starting at 9 on June 22nd, July 6th, July 20th, and possibly July 23rd, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, depending on numbers of protests filed.
Those are normal board meeting dates right now. Just have them starting at 9
for
protests.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be good. And then if we need additional days, then we'll fill in there.
Add in there, yep.
Okay.
Mail or emergency business?
Nope.
Public comment? I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second. Go ahead. Open Meeting Act is posted on the north wall as you walk in on that table there. We'll go ahead and take attendance. We got to get that hung up.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Rodney.
So we have to describe it in different places all the time.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Here.
Anybody want to excuse Rogelio?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to excuse Rogelio.
I'll say it.
Now would be the time for public comment after we take roll.
Brian?
Present.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Yeah. Here we go.
You were saying yes.
Yes, yes.
Motion. Okay.
I guess I was confused on what we're doing there, too. You have me all screwed up.
Yeah. All right. So now would be the time for public comment. If anybody wants to comment on anything that is not on today's agenda, now would be the time to come forward. All right, seeing none, we'll go to consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from April 13th, 2026. Approval of payroll claims from April 12th through April 25th, 2026. Approval of payroll account payable claims. Approval of account payable claims. Approval of official reports from the Register of Deeds, the County Clerk, the Clerk of District Court, and approval of the jail quarterly reports. If you look through your packets, all of those reports are in there. I came in earlier and I went through the accounts payable and went through payroll, and everything appears to be in order.
I can make a motion to approve consent agenda items A through F.
Second.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
That takes us to new business, Beth Farrell with NACO, to give legislative updates and report on NACO activities.
Thanks for being here.
Welcome to our county.
Thank you. So I'm Beth Farrell with NACO. Thanks for letting me be here. We're doing our annual visits to every county in the state, and so we just wanted to touch base and give you a little update about things that are going on. The packet that you have has some new information and some old information that we've put together. It You can look at it now. You can review it later as you choose. I will say there are, if it looks like there's some discrepancies between numbers, we're in the process of updating some of this information. So we've got some have one fiscal year and some have a different fiscal year. So if you see that, that's the reason. The first page talks about some of the things that we've got going on, we've had going on in 2026. That, of course, there are some of the things that have already passed, but we do have a couple things coming up on the 28th of May. We have a budget update. That will be just a webinar, kind of a refresher before budget season really starts. And if you want to sign up for that, the link to that is on our the 93 newsletter that we do, or it's on our website. You can get a hold of me if you would like to do it that way, too. Then we'll have our county board workshop in June. That's the 3rd and 4th. It'll be the same format as what we've done in the past, where it's on a Wednesday and Thursday. The Wednesday morning is an open session on a topic that all county officials are invited to, and then the actual board workshop will start Wednesday afternoon. I think the morning session will be a good one. It's about land use permits. And so that ties into the LB 663 that passed this year with shot clocks for zoning. So I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute, but I think it's going to be a really good session this year. Then, of course, we'll have our other workshops and district meetings and so on. In October, we will have our annual legislative conference. And as you know, NACO plays offense and defense legislatively, but this is where we will look at what the priorities will be for us to have introduced in 2027. So if you have any ideas about that, let me know or let anybody on the staff know. I'm the keeper of the list, so I always say me first, but we'll get that included on the list for discussion. Some of the other things in your packet, like I said, there is information about a county profile, and this is it's the Explorer webpage, or it's the County Explorer page on the website, and we've had these available at the annual conference, so you've probably seen some of these before. The one about property taxes is new. We just did that this year, so that has a more current data set on there. And then some of the other information in there talks about benefit services and some of our preferred partners. We don't have information in here about MIPS, but that is part of NACO, our technology division. We have information about NACO West, which if you ever get to Ogallala, stop in at the office out there. It's a really nice facility, and we're always glad to have everyone take a look at it because, like John always says, it's your building. This is our organization, your building. So. And then we also have information from the National Association. This year, we have all 93 counties are members of the National Association. And so that gave us an extra seat on the National Association's board. So we have more representation on that, which is awesome. A couple of pieces of legislation I'd like to talk about that didn't pass. One of them was LB 468, inheritance taxes. And nobody loves inheritance taxes because they're inheritance taxes, but the question is, what do we do without replacement revenue if they would go away? I don't want to preach to the choir. You all know. LB 468 did not appear on the agenda for debate this year. Last year it got to the second round of debate, and it was two votes short of advancing. This year Senator Clements worked on some different options, but in the end it came down to the state's budget situation. One of the proposals that he had talked about was taking like some motor vehicle funds that go to the state and shifting that over to counties and doing some things like that that state didn't have any excess money to do that either, no ability to deal with that. So it was sort of phrased in terms of intent, if the state ends up having enough money to do this, then we'll do this. And we just couldn't buy into that because intent just doesn't work in that situation. So no changes were made to inheritance taxes this year. I think that we'll probably see it again. Senator Hallstrom had offered a constitutional amendment to eliminate inheritance taxes 2 years ago. He will be in the middle of his first term next year. Senator Clemens is term limited out, but I think whether it's Senator Hallstrom or somebody else, I think we will continue to see inheritance taxes come up. There are going to be a lot of new senators coming in, so we'll need to educate them about what counties do with inheritance tax money and the need for replacement revenue, if that's going to be reduced or eliminated. The other bill that didn't pass that we were thankful for was LB 1219, and it would have imposed a hard cap on counties. As it was introduced initially, it would have been a 2% cap, which that's tough. No growth, no anything, just a hard 2%. During the last couple of days of the session, it came back as an amendment to another bill at 2.5%, a few other exceptions and things, but it was eventually withdrawn. So we're still looking at the LB 34 caps with slice and so on that we were working with last year. I think we'll see this come back again. The governor has said that property tax will be one of his priorities again, and so I don't think we will be done with this, but again, we'll have some educational responsibilities with the new senators that come in. I said I was going to talk briefly about the shot clocks. LB 664, the zoning bill, passed this year, and it would impose shot clocks on counties making decisions on conditional use permits and special exceptions. It would have a 30-day window for the Planning Commission to determine whether an application was complete. If it wasn't, there's a window for the application to be sort of fixed. And then 90 days for the Planning Commission to make a decision there. If the Planning Commission moves it forward to the County Board, then the County Board would have that same kind of a window, 30 days to look at the application for completeness, and then 90 days to make a decision. If there wasn't a decision that was made, that would be a sort of a default that it would be adopted. Any decisions would have to be made solely in compliance with zoning regs, county zoning regs, and there would be a presumption that the applicant would get all of the permits, state, federal, that sort of thing. So the county decision couldn't be contingent on we're waiting until you have to show you have proof of the permit before we can move on. So there are some big changes there, this was something that we were able to sort of negotiate down from what Senator Storer had introduced initially. And so I think that this is the workable solution that we were able to come up with. We have a task force, a working group, that's working on creating a toolkit for making zoning decisions. Things like, if you remember when we did our salary study, we had sort of a dashboard where you could go in and look at what other counties were doing, something similar to that. So it won't end up with hard and fast decisions saying this X amount should be the setback for whatever, but it will be more, these are the questions you ask, these are considerations, that sort of thing. And I think we have a member on the, yes? Okay, I thought so. he'll be able to keep you updated on what's going on with that. There is a requirement in that all Planning Commission and County Board members, County Attorneys, have 2 hours of continuing education, and we are working on that, and we'll be able to make that continuing ed available. So we know it's hard to ask volunteers who serve on any kind of commission to say, here's another 2 hours that you need to commit to this. So we're trying to make that as easy as we can for everyone. I'll just mention a couple of other bills that passed. One of them might take care of posting the open meeting sign. LB 596 deals with a number of requirements for publication, and one of them is it takes out the word posted for the Open Meetings Act. So, you know,
there we go.
You're okay. a couple of other things that did, like I said, with the meeting notices, it eliminated having to post on a statewide repository of meeting notices that the press association was keeping that, and it was there were some times where things you know, nobody's fault. They just didn't line up and in order to get that posted. And so would eliminate that, and counties would have to post notice or publish notice 4 times a year of their meeting schedule. So I think that would be helpful. We were able to get a couple of fee increases, marriage licenses, distress warrant fees. Granted, none of those by themselves add up to a lot, but if it covers the cost of doing business on those things, that's really what the goal is. It's not a moneymaker. It's just a cost recovery mechanism. The pink postcard bill, there won't be any changes for that for this coming summer, except for if the county is on the pink postcard, one of you will have to be at the hearing. A member of the elected body would have to be there, as well as the county assessor. But for 2027, that process will change. Counties will send a notice with the change evaluation notice that says, if your issue is with the valuation of your property, then you need to go take it to the protest or go to the assessor and talk about your valuation. If the issue is the budget, then that needs to be brought up at the budget hearing. And so then the Department of Revenue will send out a notice later that says this is when the budget hearings will be, as posted on the county website. So no changes this year, but next year we'll have a lot. I'm sure we'll have some webinars and things about how that's going to work in the future. I could go on, but I know you have a long agenda today. So if you have any questions, please let me know. We'll be doing a summary of legislation that passed. I'm hoping I'll get that out in the next couple of weeks here. So that if you have any other questions about that, you know.
One quick question. So the current setup for the county budgeting is slice plus growth. And then they came in with a 2% cap or a 2.5% cap, and that died. Did it die because the or it was withdrawn because they just weren't getting support for that? Or we're just kind of looking forward a little bit, trying to look into the next 2 or 3 years so at some point we don't put ourselves to where we're completely unable to make a budget.
Right, and I think that foresight and future planning is really important, especially not knowing what's going to be. With this particular year, some of it was timing.
Okay.
It didn't get put on the agenda. It was prioritized, but it was always, getting toward the end of the session, the speaker said, unless you can show me a vote card that has 33 votes for cloture, I'm not going to put it on the agenda.
Okay.
And there was always a question of whether there was 33 or not. When the amendment was introduced, there was maybe an hour or so of discussion before lunch. And then the senator who introduced it got pulled aside over lunch, and it was, you know, talked about the timing of it, and when they came back after lunch, he withdrew it.
Okay.
So it was more of a timing thing. But there are some senators that had bills this year on different elements of caps or limiting tax askings or statements, that kind of thing. And some of those senators will be back, so those issues may be back.
Well, thank you very much for coming.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Beth.
Next, Ronnie Ortega, South Sioux City Schools, to give us information on the district's facilities.
Well, good afternoon, County Commissioners.
Welcome.
County Clerk, County Attorney, thank you for having me. My name is Ronnie Ortega, proud superintendent of South Sioux City Community Schools, and neighbor to Marty Hoinstein.
There. Yep.
I'm constantly feeding your deer.
I know. They spend a lot of time in that
keep
lake.
Keep them
bed.
On your side, please. Mm-hmm. Really, I'm here to give you just a quick update. I have a low-tech 60-minute presentation with you here. And so since our last bond referendum last May, our school board, our school administration has been hard at work listening to our community and adjusting plans based on feedback. So what you see in the front page of the presentation before you is our last survey to our community. We had close to 700 participants. Quick and dirty high-level overview here. The majority of our community acknowledges we have overcrowded and old facilities. The majority of our community want these issues resolved. They just want a smaller scope of work. They don't want the whole enchilada. They just want a little bit at a time. The majority of our community want continued engagement, which we're doing. And here's the catch. The majority of the community want these issues addressed, but they don't want to pay any more than they're paying today. So don't raise the tax levy is what we've heard loud and clear. And so what we bring to you today is a no tax levy concept that would build a couple schools, add some security enhancements, at a tax levy neutral. And so I want to go through this quick presentation here. First and foremost, how the district has reduced the plan. What you see on page 2 on the top right is the 2025 bond with the 2026 concept. It is still in a concept format. What you see there clearly is a reduction in total price. The last bond referendum was projected to be $127 million. We're now at no more than 95, so a 25% reduction, still a big number. But what you see on the right side there, all the red X's are the things we've eliminated from this concept. So what we've kept are the two large capital improvement projects, the two schools. We've removed the preschool. There wasn't a whole lot of support in the community about that, for that. And we removed the other items you're seeing there, enhancements, updates at the other schools. So we've kept this to the bare minimum. On the next page, back of page 2, is our plan to address our aging facilities. We would build a new elementary school to replace our oldest two schools, Covington at 101 years old, Lewis and Clark at 64, 65. So we would build one school to replace both of those. It would eliminate a lot of the issues we currently have with accessibility issues, inefficiency issues, all kinds of issues. Here's a cool thing. We would stay away from G Street. This school would be projected to be right catty corner to Bloomers on Lake Street there, old Highway 20, behind that new development.
Yeah.
Morgan Farms, as is known here locally. And so that's where we would build that elementary school to serve the west side of town. On the right side there is our plan to address overcrowding. So we have two issues, old schools, overcrowded. Our plan for overcrowdedness is to build a 5-6 school. This would go on the northeast side, Flatwater, where we're projected to grow. As you can see, we're going to be on the outskirts of town where growth is expected to happen over the next 10, 15 years. And so this new intermediate school would house our 6th and 5th graders. Immediately, all of our elementary schools have 2 or 3 classrooms, more breathing room for better teaching and learning. Our middle school gains 12 classrooms for better teaching and learning, right? And what you see there is our enrollment as well. We've exceeded our projected enrollment every year for the past few years. We had a couple unusual things happen this year. St. Michael's closed. We've enrolled 45-plus kids from that school. The plant at Lexington shut down. We've enrolled several families from Lexington and are expecting more. So I want to make sure to draw your attention to our ever-growing enrollment. Here's the more important part, I suppose, is on page 3, the back of page 3. How are we going to pay for this? Again, knowing that our community wants to address, that they do not want the tax levy increased, our board has listened, and here's what we've come up with. Again, a tax levy neutral option. What you see in that bar graph is a decrease over the past 3 years in the bond levy, in the tax levy. That is the levy the board, school board controls. What's interesting, if we go way back to 2009, that levy has decreased by 40 cents since 2009. Big decrease. So this year, we're at 86 cents. The state of Nebraska allows us to earmark 14 cents from our general fund over to our special building fund. As the name implies, that is a fund to build buildings. This year and going forward, we're able to afford that. So our plan is to take 14 cents from those 86 cents over to the building fund, make that our savings account, and that's how we would pay for that mortgage, if you will, over the next 30 years. And so that would keep us at a tax levy neutral, which is what the community has asked for. So we're very confident in this plan and believe we can carry that forward without raising the tax levy. Last but not least, we'll continue engaging the community through May. We expect our school board to make a decision in June. Hopefully, if our engagement continues to go well, we continue to get good feedback, we may be on a bond on an election in November. That is sort of what we would project to be, but again, that decision hasn't been made yet by our school board. So that is all I have. I would welcome a question or two, however much time you'd like to give.
I know that you guys have really stepped forward all the way around with the community engagement. I've seen your people everywhere, so yeah. I think that I don't know that that was so much the case when we tried to do our last bond, so I really would applaud you with that for sure.
Thanks, Commissioner Hornstein. We've stepped that up, and that will continue for sure. Absolutely.
Anybody else?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dakota Thurston County Fair Board requesting approval for special designation liquor license for the following events: Thursday, July 30th, the tractor pull; Friday, July 31st, figure eight racing; Saturday, August 1st, extreme bull riding; and August 2nd, the Mexican rodeo.
And that would be me All right. asking you guys for that on behalf of the Fair Board.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dakota Thurston County Fair Board requesting approval to close a portion of Stable Drive for safety for fair attendees on Wednesday 29th to Sunday, August 2nd. Approval to use the county road barricades, which we've done in the past, to approve to add mag water for dust to that portion of Stable Drive from Gateway East to the fair entrance for dust control. All things that we've done yearly. Yeah. So
make motion to approve.
Second.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Brian Pearson from Simcoe going to come talk to us about the bus service that they provide in Dakota County.
Just have to read at your leisure.
All right.
In your report. So I'm coming today to get board approval for $20,000 for local support. What this does is help rides to be free in Dakota County. This will be the fourth year that this has occurred. What you're reading in the annual report, you'll see some great breakdown of ridership. You also look, you'll see that we did get a $9.1 million grant. We're going to expand in Sioux City, which we just moved into back in 23. We're going to put some offices, conference room, additional bus storage. We're also going to build a new facility in Lamar's, which is underway as we speak in terms of all the procurement, paperwork, and process you have to go through. And then what's not included in there, we're also looking at building three new facilities. We want to go into Cherokee, Iowa, and Ida Grove, and we know where we want to build. And we're going to apply for a bill grant, a federal grant, in the fall of 27 for about $12 million. And that will cover getting three new facilities, new buses, such as hybrid buses or hybrid vehicles, and we're going to put biodiesel infrastructure, so we're able to use that as well and work with Cargill and also ag processing. So we're well on our way to continue to expand. We recently became a Medicaid provider here in Nebraska. So we're working with the state to increase rides there. We did lose some 5311 funding last year, and we're also going to lose it again this year. And a lot of it had to do with between Sioux City Transit and also with CERTS. We have certain boundaries that we can't cross for funding. And so we had to separate that out and make sure that we weren't crossing into their urban area. As long as we go urban to rural, that's fine, but we can't do like urban to urban. We were doing some urban to urban trips, so that did reduce our funding there. But we are hoping the Nebraska funding will increase. A little bit about, so in the last 3 years, every year we have a double-digit increase, about 40%. So last year we had about 1,500 rides. Now we're seeing 2,500 rides. And the projection is that's going to increase to 3,500 rides to 4,000. So each year is increasing. And this is the only free program that we have, and we cover the tri-state region. So we have nothing like this. So Dakota County with Bob Giese and John Spencer back in 22 in the Board of Commissioners at that time paved the way for something that's very unique within our structure. So we hope to continue that partnership there, and as we go into this Medicaid, being a Medicaid provider and hopefully getting some ridership there, we'll be able to kind of keep the funding, local support low, and we want to keep this program going.
The last 2 years we had funded $15,000. The request this year is $20,000. So what do you guys think?
And the last part of that, as you're kind of thinking, is so we're kind of like splitting the cost. You're paying your local support.
Yeah.
And with certs, we're giving the rides for free. So anything over what you're supporting, we're eating that cost. So as we're increasing, that's why we're requesting $20,000.
I'm always surprised at how many are used for going to and back and forth to school. You know, I know there are a lot of places where kids are underserved with the busing, and it's important that they do have that for sure.
Yeah. So, but like I said, the goal is to get more ridership through that, like that Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
As being a Medicaid provider, and what that will do is instead of asking for increases, you know, from this board of commissioners, we can keep that pretty steady, and then we can build up off that that revenue stream there without asking for increases or even search taking so much of the loss in the free rides. So that's the goal. So
yeah.
All right.
Thank you. One thing.
I make motion to approve the $20,000. For Simcoe for the transit.
Second.
All right. Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Point C Health Group. Hannah and Rob Rapp here to talk about our insurance.
I'll explain why it's just me here.
Rob.
There's one for everybody, and there's a pin.
Wow.
Yeah. I usually, this is my normal job, but I'm going to do all both of them, so. There we go.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm Robert Rapp with Interstate Insurance Service in South Sioux. Let's kind of rewind the clock before we get into the actual numbers. There's been a few changes. There's some good news. At the end of the road, there's some really good news, but I want to rewind the clock a little bit. Point C, which was MidAmerican, is your third-party administrator for your health insurance. Okay, the health insurance plan, I think most of you know that, Jeff, I think we talked about this. You and Rogelio, the newer ones, is a partially self-funded health insurance plan. Okay, so what Point C does is they do the administration work. Okay, all the claims works, everything else goes through Point C. Okay, formerly MidAmerican. Okay, and at the end of last year, the gentleman who was normally with me, Matt Willenweber, who was the president of MidAmerican, when he actually was kind of surprised to me, retired. Okay, sold his portion of the business and has retired. Point C now is a national company, and so they do not really have a local presence anymore in Omaha. So the person we do your rep, who is now Jamie for Point C, will be here for next renewals and everything else. But this year, unfortunately, with the timing issue and everything else, couldn't be here. So that's why it's just me. So, there is some good news. There's some really good news, actually. Pleasantly surprised to be here on that one.
An insurance guy telling us we have good news.
Yes. So if you look through this, their format's a little different than before. If you remember, Matt would always talk about healthcare bingo. We really don't get it. I'll get into the columns, but the columns are looking a little different. And the numbers, we've tried to streamline the numbers as much as we can, because sometimes I always felt you're asking for a drink of water and we're opening a fire hose. And sometimes you don't need a fire hose. So if you look on the second page, the plan pricing, there are a few changes with plan pricing, what we call the hard costs, which happen every month. Okay, those are the things that go out and get paid every month. Okay, because there's two facets to your plan. The things that happen every month, what we call the hard costs, or refer to as the hard costs, and then there's the claims fund. Okay, so there's two different sections. The hard costs, those get paid every month. Okay, the claims can change as your staff changes and as medical claims go through the process. Those can fluctuate. Okay, so there are some small changes in the hard costs, but not a great deal. Those are more inflationary, as unfortunately everybody's dealing with right now. The last couple years of inflation, last 3 or 4 years of inflation, have caught up with this as well. But they're small in the grand scheme of things. Okay, if you look past the next page, you really don't need the. Let's go to, it would be the second to the last page. It looks like this.
Yep.
This is where this kind of meat and potatoes. And this is where the good news lies, okay? I went, and if you look, again, I do miss the columns being labeled, but that's unfortunately. The first column is where you're at now, okay? Again, if you remember, we were traditionally on a March 1st renewal, and you're saying, well, it's April, what are you doing here now, okay? Cherie and Joan before were trying to get a July 1st renewal to meet with your fiscal year. Okay, we did that a year ago. Okay, we extended the contract. MidAmerican or Point C at the time renewed with the current vendor. We had a 15-month contract. Okay, so this renewal is actually for 7/1 of 26 to 7/1 of 27. So we got a full year, and the good news on the renewal at the time was there was no changes. They renewed it for 15 months, so you've got 15 months. So that was really good news back then. Okay, so if you look at the next column, that is the renewal that Point C has negotiated with. It's the same underlying company. Now, what they also do, and we talk about this every year, is they should go out and shop this out to 20 to 30 different reinsurance carriers. Okay, the reinsurance carriers are the people that pay the bigger losses because you're insuring the first $60,000. Okay, after that, that's when the reinsurance starts to play. Okay, these are not your household names. These are back office companies. Fairco is a Berkshire company that's all they do is reinsurance. Okay, they've been your current reinsurance carrier for multiple years. So, we don't really have to get through all the numbers, but if you look on the column, it would be about two-thirds down the way of the column, you'll see a percentage change right below the maximum costs. Okay, of a decrease of 14%. So that's a decrease of 14%. Now, how is that even possible in today's insurance world? Okay. Mm-hmm. The big advantage, and this has been, rewind the clock till 2006, when this county started their self-funding mechanism, okay, or partially self-funding mechanism. It's really based on your claims, on your medical claims. I went back the last 2 to 3 years just to give us a recent example. Okay, historically, your medical claims are running about 85 to 90%, okay, which is a little higher than average. You like to be at 75 to 80, okay. This year, you're in the 50s, which is great. That's fantastic, okay. That means your group has been healthy this year, okay. And so what Point C is forecasting, along with the reinsurance carrier, is that's how you're getting a significant drop in the forecast cost. Okay? So that's assuming that the medical claims trend the way they are. The line that my old partner in crime that used to help me with this, who passed away a couple years ago, Don Faber would say, is that on a 5-year period, you'll have 2 really good years, 2 so-so years, and a couple train wrecks. Mm-hmm. Okay? You've had some train wrecks. Some of you, Rick, you've been here before, you were involved in it before, you've had some train wrecks. Martin's well aware of the train wrecks of claims years. That's when we had some pretty substantial increases. You're in one of your good years. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And when I spoke to Martin on Friday, he said, yeah, the claims have been running pretty good. So from your claims rate. Yeah. So now there is one thing that is a little bit different this year. Familiar with, that's why I can't say 14% is the magic number. There is, if you look down there, there is a line called laser liability. And I'll explain that real quickly. One of your staff or dependents, I'm not exactly sure which this is there is a large medical issue going on. Okay. Now, that happens. That happens. It seems like it's a newer issue. Okay. In the last couple of years, you have not had lasers. And what a laser is says that the county would be responsible for up to $140,000 for this person. Okay. Okay. Normally, it's only the $60,000.
Yeah.
But this may happen. Okay. That this person has had some substantial claims. This policy year, if they have claims, if the claims continue, the insurance company's saying we think they're going to continue based on the diagnosis and everything else, we're going to boost that person from 60 to 140,000. Okay, after that, county's off the hook. The reinsurance carrier comes into play. Okay, now if that doesn't happen, let's say the person. And we've seen this happen too, where the person either does get better, leaves your plan. Unfortunately, there are some situations where they pass away on your plan. Mm-hmm. If they're no longer on the plan one way or the other, or the health condition continues or improves, that laser liability, that's not a hard cost. They're just building that in. So even with that laser, if the county would have to pay that laser, okay, for that one person, okay, that only brings the decrease. This sounds awful. This sounds awkward, but your decrease goes from 14% to 9%.
Mm-hmm. Even with the laser.
Even with a laser involved. So, again, my dad was involved in this for many, many years. I've been involved with it for 13 years now. Since he passed away, I've never seen a rate decrease like this. So, terms of the policy look exactly the same. Nothing changes. Okay. Now, I know you've talked about changes internally here. Are you in? Is it negotiation time?
Just getting close to.
Okay. So, you know, depending on your negotiations, work with deductibles and those type of things, this could look a little different. It's not going to change a great deal, but it would change. It could look a little different. So, again, I won't take more of your time because it's a pretty great scenario. So
a lot better than the 30% increase we had 2 years ago.
Yes, we've been through this. You've seen the train wrecks. Yeah. You've seen the train wrecks.
So. No, that's great news.
Yeah,
we've been where we were trying to find a carrier to take us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were situations where
I remember a time where they would take the bid out to 28 companies and maybe get 3 bids out of 20 would even bid.
Exactly. So, like I said, it's a very pleasant discussion to have with you this year. Again, I'm thrilled to bring that to you. So.
But if things did go off the rails the next 3 months, it could damage that too because it's.
These are locked in.
Oh, these are locked.
Yeah, these are good. Yeah,
that's locked in for
and that's
that.
I apologize. Okay. I should your stop loss. If you look on there, if you accept this before 5/1 or 5/11. You're
locked in.
Yeah, locked in. The underwriting stops and everything else. So I do have the documents. There's a couple things you need to sign. And like I said, I can get those for you. I have them with me today, Martin. So.
Well,
it's on the agenda to approve if you want.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
I think we ought to approve it.
I agree. It's a pretty substantial of something that you don't see very often. For sure.
I think a motion to approve.
I'll second that.
And Marty to sign.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio? Sorry, Brian?
Yes. he's here in spirit.
Here's the one. I need a Martin Mayer and a Martin Mayer.
Can you have the girl, if you leave before the meeting is over, can you have the girls take a copy of that?
Sure.
Right.
I'll email
it. Yeah,
okay. I'll email
that.
I'll get it completely.
Okay.
If you may have, you guys, do you have any questions? We'll walk through it. We can get down to the nitty gritty if you want it, but I know that's, there's time constraints here.
Yeah. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your business.
Walt Buterham of Siouxland requesting board to approve special designation liquor license for their fundraising event May 24th from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. We've done that for several years.
Yeah. Is it the same? I thought it was later in the year, though.
I don't know. It's right across from Roger Hamus's house.
Yeah, it's usually about the same time. Is it? It's right about my birthday. It is. Yeah. I make a motion to approve.
Yep. Go ahead.
Nope. Second.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, Rick and Brian.
Yep.
Jeff.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
Brian.
Yes.
Rick.
Yes. When they have this, if you get the opportunity to go, they have really got some good food there.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
Board to review and approve or not approve RTI renewal for managed services for a 5-year contract. RTI. Jeff, what do you got to say?
We met with them a couple weeks ago. I think that we've been really happy with their service that they've done here. We got some things that need to be updated. They're going to look at updating some of our mail servers and everything that need to be done to comply with Microsoft. I don't see any reason why we don't continue with RTI.
I sat in the meeting with them, and Jeff has a far better grasp than myself on computers, believe it or not. And so I kind of deferred to Jeff, and he's got vast experience in that. And, I would agree with what Jeff said.
Is this for the county's IT?
Yeah.
For five years.
Yeah. Unless anybody has a problem, I'd make the motion that we go ahead and approve the 5-year agreement with RTI.
Second.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Board to review and approve or not approve the road use agreement with Sternwell Solar Project LLC for the mission of clean energy solar power.
Hello.
Oh.
So, Kim, Nirma, Mission Energy representatives, we have gone over this road use agreement several meetings. Everything seems to be in order. Nirma's happy with it. Kim's happy with it. It is for the solar panels to go out there. We will be adding, they do have a map of the haul roads. We will be adding the utility agreements when they come in. I did speak with the representative from Mission this morning, and he did submit one utility agreement. Me and Dean haven't had a chance to review that yet, and there'll be a couple more, but they are trying to do some of it on private property as well, so we won't have as much in our right-of-ways.
Okay.
Do you have anything you wanted to add?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, good afternoon. David Levy, Bertram Law Firm, on behalf of the developer. Really, two things. One, I want to thank Jolene and the county attorney and your outside counsel. They were great to work with. I would like to get this approved for my clients. I think Jolene would like to get this approved even more, so I will quit bugging her. Of course, my phone is buzzing as I'm talking to you. Seriously, I want to just thank them. They've been great. Everybody's been great to work with. And otherwise, just happy to answer your questions.
Do they have any idea when they think on starting project? And I know it varies.
Yeah, I would say the best estimate right now would be next spring.
Hmm. Yep.
So, but this is an important step in that direction. And again, would appreciate your approval.
Anybody got any questions on it?
So this is an agreement that if they destroy or damage the road, that they'll reimburse us to take care of it, and you're good with everything?
Yep.
And did we get the decommissioning agreement as well?
I haven't made the connection with Joe on that yet, so hopefully I sent all the information to him. He hasn't had a chance to review it, but
okay.
Hopefully at the next meeting we can put that in front of these guys as well.
Okay. And that's just following up. You had the decommissioning plan, which is really the meat of that agreement as part of the conditional use permit. That agreement just kind of ties everything together, and importantly, it gives the county an additional enforcement mechanism for the decommissioning, because that could happen after the project. You've got your enforcement mechanism like you always have under the conditional use permit, but that also gives you a contractual enforcement mechanism as well. So pretty simple agreement, but it does give the county some additional protection and then ties that decommissioning plan in with everything. So a little preview for you there.
All right.
So
thank you.
So since that was under the conditional use, I passed that on to Joe for his review. So
okay.
Just as soon as we get that back, we'll give it to these guys.
Great. Thank
Very
you.
Good.
I make motion to approve the road use agreement with Stern Wheeler.
I'll second that.
All right. Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you.
Board to review and approve or not approve final plans and specs for the M Avenue Extension Project.
Hey there. So, Baylor Bastion with JDO. Thanks for seeing me today. This is just what we've been discussing about that 600 feet of pavement between Village of Hubbard, city limits to the bridge. Plans are done, signed, specs. This is just standard procedure when you go through sealed signed set of plans, and then we can discuss on your next item the cost and
okay.
what we're doing there. So does anyone have any questions on the plans or specifications?
I don't think so. Do you have a copy for us of?
So the contract and the specifications, our admin, it's kind of
okay.
lengthy. She'll send you like a
okay.
stickered up version
yeah.
for it.
It was like
we
280
yeah.
pages
okay.
long, so I didn't try
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
to.
Good
start,
idea.
When are they going to start the project?
Talking with Joe Stuse, with Steve Harris, could be like as soon as like a couple weeks here. RP's doing some storm sewer work for the village side of the project, and then after they kind of get tied up with that, Steve Harris wants to jump in there, so pretty soon here.
It won't take long.
As fast as he did Lake you on a drive, it'll take him about an hour and a half to do.
Yeah. Maybe a little longer.
You need a motion for the plans.
Yeah. I'd make a motion to accept the plans on the extension on M Avenue.
Second.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Next is the dollar amount.
Board to review and approve or not approve awarding the M Avenue Extension Project to Steve Harris Construction for $167,424.29.
Yeah, the only comment I'll make, you know, I kind of estimated this at like $200,000. I mean, good chunk below that, so I have no issues with it.
Yeah. He came in well under on the other project we've had him done and did great work for us, so I don't know what.
I was just going to say, part of the savings, I'm sure, is because he's right there doing for the village and everything. Yeah, it's I think it worked out well for everybody.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Good.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks, Baylor.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Old business. Jolene, Highway Superintendent Road Report.
Hello again. And before I forget, so with the utility agreements that have come through, we updated the contract, or the form, a meeting or two ago, I can't remember. So we've always had on there Highway Superintendent signed off on it. This one says County Representative. So I don't know if you guys want our office to continue to handle these. Usually they call in, we talk to the contractor, the engineer on it, Dean goes out and looks at it, we discuss the plans, we sign off. Is that the way you want us to continue to do
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I would say that that's the way it should be continued.
Okay. I forgot that at the last meeting, so okay. Needed to say that before I forgot it again. We had 257 hours of maintaining, 3 hours of overtime, 4 hours cleaning up some trees, 36 hours replacing a culvert on 200 Street, 151 hours hauling in gravel. We hauled 77.95 tons of 1-inch on the road and 134.11 tons of road gravel out on the roads. We hauled 460 1-inch into the yard and 643 of gravel into the yard, 14 hours on signs, 4 hours spraying weeds, and then some grading concerns on some minimum maintenance and gravel request on 200. The tractor bids, we decided to go used. So we're putting bids out to get used. I mean, there's about a $50,000 difference, but, you know, that's a pickup, that's a maintainer payment, that's savings. So we decided to do that. So at the next meeting, we'll have those bids available. We talked to Jeff and Brian about that, and they were on board with that as well. Scrap tire is in a couple of weeks. And I have some extra flyers if you guys want those. Any questions?
The one thing, and this doesn't have anything to do with your report, we talked to Dean a little bit, and I know those guys. These guys have been talking, the road guys, a little bit about the spraying of the facility here, just the grounds there. And we had it sprayed earlier this week by an independent party, but we're going to have the county do that going forward, and we'll get together, and our guys will make the contacts to make sure that gets done. So don't worry about it.
Already starting on that.
So there's... Well, that's good because we got our weed department.
Right.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Yeah. And the guys did a great job that came, though, it looked like. So.
Okay. Anything else?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Tyler and Jacob for our quarterly jail report.
So we had a delay in getting the numbers from March in there, so when we get those, we'll get them over to your guys' office to review them. Just in looking at it, what we've seen on the trends, you know, we've been able to up our billable days every month, and we've been able to bill out to other agencies for people who are housing here. The cost of an inmate is staying pretty steady. We're doing pretty good on that. The spending's been slowly decreasing with the decrease in overtime too. So we've been doing fairly well over there, and what we've been able to do with spending and the revenue we've been bringing in.
Good job.
And then, as you know, I'm going to go back out, work as a patrol deputy full-time, and Port Patrol Sergeant Fulker's going to take over as captain of the jail, so he'll be the point of contact moving forward. But I'll still be around. We're kind of in a transition period here, so I'm kind of helping him out with what's going on, things of that nature. So, again, if you guys need anything from me, I'll still be around. So, but he should be more than adequate in answering your questions and get anything you guys need.
All right. Sure. Appreciate it, both you guys.
Good luck, guys.
Any questions for us?
He did. No? Good job of getting costs down.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Nicely done.
It wasn't a solo mission. There was a lot of people that helped out with that. So hopefully we keep that trend going.
So, well, welcome.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Seen you since you got it.
No, I know. That's
all right. Thanks, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I address something to jail?
You bet.
No.
So I guess I'm just looking for guidance on what you want to do with passing the Todd. I don't know what the easy fix is. My first thought was see if Jesse. Okay. Well, then I'll just defer everything.
talk to Rodney and see if Rodney will come in or will pitch in. He said he would today when we were back.
Rodney was wheeling around on a wheeler in the jail.
We're going to have it put in. I'm posted tomorrow.
I understand that.
So we're ready. Hopefully, get something quickly.
Yeah. Okay. In the meantime, what would you like me to do? Because we're not maintenance people.
So. Right. No, I totally understand that too.
Well,
Balls in your court. Where do you want me to forward the emails to for your building? Is probably the best.
Do you have any sources that you could until we get someone to replace Rod or?
Well, that's where I was going with. I thought maybe if Jesse worked 10 hours part time a week. The old maintenance guy,
mm-hmm.
He hasn't said yes to it. Doesn't sound like he really wanted to come back that way. I was kind of begging him. But if he fixes two things at $30 an hour, it's going to be cheaper than mm-hmm. Roto-Rooter at $100 or $150 an hour. So I'm just asking.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I don't know what you know. We'll pick up the cleaning as far as the janitorial stuff in the interim, but the maintenance stuff, I mean, it's... I'm on that list. That's every single day, 10 mm-hmm. things. So I don't really want to see us blow our budget in the last month, you know, because we're waiting. And then there's going to be that learning curve mm-hmm. of whoever's coming in, too. So, I mean, that's obviously it's your employee, but I just that's the only thing I can think of that could come in right away and help if he's willing to. But like I said, he said he'd think about it, so.
Temporary.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't even know if he wants to do that. And mm-hmm. if it does, it'll probably be a favor to me. So.
Yeah, so it'd be, you can get a second plumber or somebody like that to come in and pitch in or whatever.
Sure, I mean, we can call somebody or however you want me to do it. If you want me just to have them forward the emails that were going to Todd, to Rodney, and he can hire that out or whatever he wants to do. I mean, I don't see Rodney, but...
Yeah.
Just based on seeing him on the scooter, he's probably not going to be able to go up the steps to the...
Right.
No, I brought that up to him tonight. Being as this is an emergency, can we do, without putting it on the agenda, the advertising to get someone out there?
I'm fine with the building and grounds guys, you know, finding somebody. Are you fine with that,
Jeff?
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with the building and ground guys finding somebody for sure. If they're in the same dollar range, you know, where we're, first of all... sorry to hear about Todd. I mean, it's a tragedy. I mean, we lost our maintenance guy over at the jail this week and passed away. So unexpectedly.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if we can get him replaced as quickly as possible. But on the learning curve of teaching, there's someone new coming in. Who's going to do that?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, the only person I can think of is Jesse, but I don't even know if he wants to do it. I just texted him while I was sitting back there. I already called him once, and he's like, nah, I don't know. So he's happy at the LEC.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if I begged him, I'm good friends with him, he probably would do it as a favor to me.
Just like 10-hour a week thing,
that's
just to cover
thinking.
Stuff. If you
I mean,
at least if the stuff was forwarded to him, he'd have a working knowledge.
I mean, he knows how to replace the locks and the little stuff.
But then you guys could hire somebody in the short term.
And you guys can, I mean, he said he was coming down here at 1 o'clock tomorrow for some reason. I told him I'd meet with him then. Somebody wants to be here at 1, talk to him as well. I think he's maybe coming to light his car. I don't know what he's doing. But I just have the big concern that I know there's 10 maintenance requests a day.
There is,
you know,
a lot.
So, and it's little stuff. And right. If we're going to, we start calling the plumber for everything, you can spend a lot of money in a real
short period of time.
Yeah.
Subject to it.
I concur with that.
And I will say, if you guys don't mind, I'll sing Todd a little bit of praises and what he was able to do over there. He's very organized with his spreadsheets and the way he was able to fill things and keep track of spending and what was getting fixed and organized with the work orders. There are a couple projects he was working on, like the Muffin Monster we got over there. We had that service about a year ago. We were in talks of getting another set of blades just to have on the shelf in case it went out, because the only places that repair those are out in California, and we're at a 6 to 8 week downturn, and the city of Dakota City is already not happy with what they get from here and over from Tyson down at the wastewater treatment plant. So Todd had a lot of really good plans in place. The way he was able to get things fixed and the way he's got them set up, I don't know that it would be terribly hard for anyone that knows what they're doing in the maintenance world to come in and figure it out. But in order for us to remain compliant with jail standards, with lighting standards, with water standards, things of that nature, we got to either have a plan in the interim or have a quick turnaround and someone we can get in there and know what's going on. Otherwise, we're going to come to a point where someone's going to walk in and it's going to take them a month and a half to refix everything that maybe has been going wrong since Todd passed. So, thank you.
Was that
job basically 7 to 3 or what? Todd was here.
Yeah. I mean, unless there was something that we'd get called at for at night, but for the most part, he went around and he switched a lot of stuff so that the calls at night they could call him, but he could explain them what they need to do, like turn off water and cells and stuff like that. He replaced a lot of those valves that were having problems with the. But yeah, I mean, for the most part,
and access to them too.
Were
a nightmare.
Yeah, he was really good at what he did.
For sure. It's gonna be hard to replace him.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to leave it with these two guys, and so Brian, expect a bunch of emails.
Jacob, anybody in mind? Do you have anybody that you would that might be looking that would fit the ticket?
I mean, if you want us to put some out on the website if it's a building and maintenance people, you guys advertising that on Indeed. I mean, I can ask around. I mean, I think we all know enough people around to get them interested, put an app in, get them down here, and at least you guys can interview them. But I don't have anyone in particular in mind, no.
Okay.
No. You're looking for a job, Greg?
We also have a new website.
But you're looking for a job?
No. I got plenty of them.
All right.
The sheriff's office and jail also have a new website, so that was one of the first things that I wanted to happen. An interactive website. So
nice.
Went up and running today, correct? We started today.
Good.
Good. Nice. Thank you. Any?
We posted out to our social media as well, and the county website has our link is now linked to that as well, so it should be.
But we can take job applications with the signatures we need and everything on it. So the notarized signatures, that's a part of it. Everything. So they can email any of our employees and send messages.
Good. All right, we're going to push our jail quarterly visit to the next meeting. Commissioner committee reports. I didn't have any. Mail or emergency business. Brian, what did you want to add?
I would like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay.